just go for those, was it those super, super bling Cane Creek or EE ones?
I think I found a set of GRX brake calipers available in Spain, and I am basically going, well, I'm recording now anyway, but I am literally placing the order at the same time because, like, one, I can't multitask. Two, I'm really worried that I'm not going to get them. And three...
I found you a set. Hang on. Just found them.
Where did you find them?
Go on Merlin Cycles. I just put it in the link. Go on Merlin Cycles.
No, you didn't. You didn't find them that easily, did you?
I think.
Are they in stock?
I click that link and just press buy.
Click that link and press buy. They are £655 Cane Creek EE limited edition. Beautiful. They're lovely, mate. But it's disc brake.
Oh, that's, yeah, I mean, I can't really help you with that one, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, it's I'm ordering them right now, literally. I'm sitting.
Maybe that's why they're £655 because no one rides rim brakes anymore. It's like we're only going to sell two sets of these for the entire world. So let's make them £655.
So Dov from Parkours has bought a set of them.
Hmm.
And he's having a bike made specifically for them.
That's a man who has too much.
That is, I mean, that is top dog baller, in my opinion. Mm.
Do you want to see something really interesting?
Go on.
I was on a call. Well, I was here yesterday about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I get a call from Francesca.
Yeah.
She's like crying down the phone to me, and the fire alarm's going off. Okay. And she's outside, like screaming, like, come home, come home, there's been a fire. I was like, oh my fucking God. I come home and we have pampas grass in the living room that was super dry and a candle on the other side of the living room. A piece of the pampas grass fell off, floated over the way to the candle, set a light to the candle, went back across to the pampas grass, caught a light to the pampas grass, caught a light to the rug on the floor, caught a light to the rug on the door. The door set alight and the wall set alight. And I came back to some guys with fire extinguishers in my house hosing down my walls and door. And then I can show you a photo.
What the fuck? Seriously?
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Look at my new rug.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It's a cool rug, though.
Well, it's not cool anymore. It's now fucked.
Oh, I bought another one. It's fine.
You're lucky. That could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I know. This is what I said to her. She was so upset about the rug more than anything because it was my moving in present to her.
Yeah.
I was like, it's fine. As long as you're fine. As long as she's okay. As long as no one's hurt. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. These things are bullshit, quite frankly. Fire is bad. Stay away from it.
Fire bad. Stay away.
Yeah, I've learned that. I've got this new place has got a gas hob. I'm not good at it. I'm like,
really? I hate electric hobs.
It's fantastic. Like because it's like instant heat, if you know what I mean? Like hot. But my big issue with it, mate, is that when I'm like the person that sits there and I turn it and it's like waiting for the thing. And the gas is still coming out.
And then you'll look over the top of it.
And then all of a sudden it just goes, whoa! And I'm like, fuck, that's my eyebrows gone. I've done it so many, I've probably done it 3 or 4 times now. So I like it, but I don't get on with it, shall we say.
At least you're safe from having to go to the brow technician every week.
Yeah, I mean, these caterpillars, someone's got to maintain them, haven't they?
mate.
So what else have I been up to today? So Fee's present turned up, which is that lovely Flanders gravel bike. It's really cool. And because it was her birthday yesterday. And then we installed a water butt in the garden.
Nice.
I say we very loosely. I did fuck all. And Fee did basically everything apart from... she was struggling to get to drill one of the holes, so I did that for her. But literally she did everything. And it's a nice looking water butt. It's got a planting thing at the top of it. So planted some lavender in the top of it. So that was nice.
Very cute. And,
had a 3-hour training session. So done quite a lot today, actually. Been a bit nice. Of a hectic one. And along with my hunting for Shimano GRX brake calipers,
which I think is you along with the rest of the cycling industry right now.
Right.
Trying to find anything to put on a bike for in a workshop is virtually impossible.
I had to buy a crank set off eBay because I just couldn't get a 165 crank set anywhere. Like, this, yeah, it's tough. It's good and it's bad. Oh, another example of something. This will make you laugh. Proof of bike shop, bike industry being a bit buggered right now. In this little bag here, not actually taken out yet. This is a Caledonia stem. Cervelo Caledonia stem. Alloy one. It's kind of cool looking, actually. For my Aspero 5, so 120. Mm-hmm. The length that I ride on my Aspero, and the geometry is the same, so I needed the same length, basically. They do a carbon one, and the carbon one is beautiful, but very, very expensive.
Mm.
The alloy one is pretty nice, to be fair, and a shit ton cheaper than the carbon one. This is from Singapore.
What?
I literally can't get one for love or money in the UK.
How long did it take to get to you? Is that actually genuine as well?
It's genuine. It's from a legit bike shop, a very good bike shop in Singapore, which is a Cervelo dealer. Look, all the proper Cervelo packaging and stuff like that as well. And I've got a friend that lives in Singapore, so I double checked. Is it a genuine shop? And he's like, yeah, it's a legit shop. And I ordered it on Thursday last week and it arrived today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's fast.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I had to pay import tax on it, of course, but I've got a stem for my Aspero 5, which will be with me next Thursday. I'll have it.
Nice. Are you gonna ride your R3 still for thingamajiggle?
I think I might ride the Aspero 5.
Yes.
Because
I'm excited to see it. Is it there with you?
No, it's at Tim's. It's in London. My reason thinking is I think the gear ratios will be a bit kinder for the coast to the coast, because
especially from the first half.
Right. That first, I was proper grinding gears and that. And so the Aspero 5 has got it comes with a GRX crank set. It's got a 4i power meter in it as well. Just like, oh,
yeah.
But it's a GRX crankset, and I think it's like 48 something. I can't remember what the tooth is, but it's going to be a nicer ratio with a larger cassette, which I think will be quite good. I'll put the same wheels on that we had last time. So it'll be, you know, deeper section carbon rim with a slick fat tire on it. But I think that bike will be probably a better bike for it on the basis of the gear ratios. As opposed to, because I think I told you I was debating doing it on my normal Aspero, but I think the gear ratios on that are probably just a little bit too small.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's cyclocross ratios and then a mountain bike cassette on it. So it's fucking crazy. While the actual GRX componentry, I think, will be pretty good for it. So that's my thinking. That's going to be set up on Thursday. Get that all up and running. And then what you've already just said, we bugger off again at the end of the month to do it all over again.
I was going to say, that's... what date are we talking about here? 27th. Next Thursday is the 20th. And then we bugger off on 27th. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I've not like publicly said that we're doing it again yet. So
well, I guess you are currently talking on a podcast.
I am currently talking on a podcast. I guess this is kind of announcing it again. But... So anyone that is listening to this and doesn't know who Andy is one of the nicest human beings in the world. And he is a lovable man who gives great hugs, is very kind and caring, and also happens to be very, 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 very good at his job.
Well, you're going to say very northern then for some reason. I was just like, I don't know why. I've been calling Francesca Northern all week to wind her up.
Is she northern?
Yeah, she's from Leicester.
Oh, she's from Leicester.
Yeah. Yes, from Leicester. She says stuff like "shut up" and "what's wrong with you." That's basically all I can do with her.
That's all Northern. That's how a Northern accent is. My favourite expression, which has been I've been called quite a lot up here in Leek in the Peak District, is "duck" and "ducky."
What's that mean?
It's a nice thing when someone says "you're right, ducky." It's like saying that like you're a nice person. Instead of saying "you're right, mate," it's like "you're right, duck," "you're right, ducky." That's quite common.
Isn't it just because you sound like a duck?
Maybe they just think I'm.
Wah, wah, my name's Chris Hall. Wah, 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 wah.
Well, yeah, it's happened quite a few times. Like people delivering stuff. "You're right, duck," and I'm like, "All right, definitely they look like a duck. I don't even have a duck tattoo. Maybe I need to get one."
Bill.
Yeah. So. Andy basically works in video photography. You studied photography primarily, didn't you?
Studied photography at Southampton Solent.
And big up Southampton there, clearly. Yeah. And we...
look what they produced. I mean, come on.
La-dee-da.
Good perspective. Never been invited back to speak, strangely enough, whilst everyone else has.
Wow. That says a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But yeah, Andy and I worked on... Andy did the film for 107 TDF and also, I guess in a way, the photography. Like, you're still kind of part of that. I mean, it was done with two other people, James and Jake.
James and Jake.
Who are also very good mates. But you basically did the film for that, and we also the first time you and I worked together was when we went to Hellzone.
Couldn't find it on Google Maps. Just couldn't find it.
No, unfortunately, Hellzone is actually called Hailzone. It's not as impressive.
That was a fun 45 minutes of my life trying to find it on Google Maps, swiping in Hellzone Velodrome.
So the Velodrome, and we went there to test out some bits on a TT bike. And that's when we first started doing stuff. And then had 107 TDF. And then the most recent project has been the coast-to-coast ride, effectively. The nuts and bolts ride, which is most western point of England to the most eastern point of England, which quite frankly was an absolute fuck-up. Like, it was. Like
From the get-go, realistically, it was a fuck-up.
We were planning.
Yes, I wouldn't say from the get go. I'd say from the second we got there. Yeah, that's fine.
So I wanted to do a podcast with you for a few things. One was obviously we're going to talk a bit about that, and two, just to generally chat about some of the stuff that you've been working on, because there's some really cool stories behind some of them. The stuff you've been doing with Alec, for example, which is crazy. And I mean, yeah, so we got down to Land's End. We didn't have a lot of time really prep-wise for this. I think we got the okay from Shimano to go ahead with this project for maybe a week and a half before. Maybe.
I'd say probably a little bit sooner, to be honest. I remember starting the conversations probably a week and a half before, and then again confirmed, like fully confirmed with budget for expenses at probably 3 days before. And for anyone listening who's trying to find a camper van in the height of the camper van season 3 days before, I don't recommend it.
Yeah. And alas, we've had that problem again.
Yep, we have. And no, I can find no camper vans, strangely enough.
It's going to be a van then, isn't it, with an airbed?
Yep, it's going to be. Yeah. It's fine. We know really good millets in Cornwall.
So... we went down to Land's End, drove down there. We had Ed with us helping out with the video and photography. and got down there, and first things first, we realized that I had forgotten my jacket, you had forgotten the radios, and I think that was pretty much the only things we'd forgotten. The thing, major things that you and I thought of, I didn't have a jumper, I didn't have a jacket, and you didn't have the radios, so we got some radios from Argos, and we found the Millets in Penzance, and bought a jacket and some fudge, very nice. And
a good salted caramel banana bread as well.
Yeah,
that one, that little tiny the bite from, not big enough, real patisserie. Is it real patisserie or was it
patisserie Valerie? Wasn't it
patisserie Valerie? That's the one that sacked off all of their employees on 0 hour contracts. Big up patisserie Valerie.
Now selling it in Sainsbury's.
Now selling in Sainsbury's. Boycott Sainsbury's.
Yeah. And yeah, so we got down there, and I mean, the planning side of it, we had a little Airbnb for a couple of days. It was down a very, very interesting bit of road. And we effectively, you know, got the bike, I got the bike ready. It wasn't the bike I originally planned to ride on. And I flat bounced around what bikes do on fucking literally until the day we left. And then had a day sort of downtime to sort of chill and get ready, which was, I actually think was pretty perfect. I think all of us kind of needed that, to be honest, because it was a long drive down and it's just good to decompress a bit. And then we got going very early in the morning and it was fucking hard. Like for me anyway, it was fucking hard. That southwest bit is brutal. It's so hard. The riding is so relentless. And I think it is pretty bad, pretty much until Exeter. That's where it starts to get a bit more friendly past Exeter.
I was going to say, I thought it started to get more friendly past Andover, to be honest, but
yeah, actually, you're probably right. Andover onwards.
Yeah. Well, the point you were at was the point that it was actually starting to get a little bit friendlier in terms of climbing. Not obviously friendlier in terms of confrontations, but
yeah. People obviously weren't so nice in Andover, as it's been kind of well documented and well publicized. I think is that it's been pretty crazy actually, like the amount of support that has come out of it, and still people have like donated and stuff to Movember out of it, has been pretty incredible. Like, genuinely didn't expect it. I was in the mindset of like, it's failed, shit, hopefully we can make this work at another point, and I just need to put it out there that we stopped. And so we did. Very consciously, this time, first time around, didn't really talk about it until the day before we went. And that was, I did that consciously because of a mind on what, at the time, the COVID regulations were. And I thought, we were maybe slightly pushing it by even trying to do a challenge that's riding across the UK, basically. We weren't breaking the law or the rules or anything, but I thought ethically maybe it wasn't quite the right thing to do. That sounds wrong. Actually, maybe I didn't ever think it was the wrong thing to do. I thought maybe some people might take it the wrong way. And so I didn't talk about it until the day before we did it, very, very intentionally. And the reason being to try and reduce people trying to come and ride. That's very intentional. So we're going to go back and have another go anyway. We had a big chat with Shimano and they're 100% behind supporting the challenge, continuing to document the challenge. And we had a big call about it with a very nice man called Cyril. Great name, great accent. I would like to think he's very tall because he's Dutch.
He does look like quite a tall man. Like, I only see them on Zoom and Google Meets, but I've got a feeling he's probably 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, he's got to be tall. He's Dutch. I know that's really stereotyping, but I think he might be tall.
That guy that joined you for, was it day three or day four of the 107-107? He was, no, not 107-107, was it? The one we did before, I can't remember the name of it. 107 TBF. Yeah. So many 107s, just forget all the names of them. That Dutch guy that joined you on day three or day four is probably the tallest cyclist I've ever seen in my entire life.
The one that had that was on the Quirk, do you mean?
Yes, yeah.
The barn door, wasn't it? It's huge.
Yeah.
It made 700C wheels look small.
Mm. Wait, are you talking about that guy then in your third day? You're talking about the guy at the end on your last day? Because that guy was incredibly tall as well. Do you not remember?
Yeah,
you were shielding for the wind from him because he was so big.
I was talking about the guy at the end.
Oh, I was talking about the guy at the beginning. The guy, do you remember me and James were waiting up the side of that climb for you for 45 minutes? Not when we're in, not when it was raining at the top of the climb, but the one that was really, really long and it was a really, really hot day. And he came up and he was wheeling all the way up.
Oh, Pierce. Yeah, he's very tall.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very tall man. That's the man I was talking about.
I think that the guy at the end on the quirk was taller.
Really?
Yeah, because he was a guy, do you remember, who said he kept buying, like, not to, no disrespect to the brand, but he kept buying Specialized bikes. He kept breaking them. Do you remember? Mm. And so he went for a custom bike, and the head tube was made out of a top tube tube because he's so tall.
Yeah.
That guy. Very, very tall. But
yeah. Still cycling brings in a wide range of human bodily types, the two extremes.
Yeah. Long limbs. Yeah. Short bodies. So yeah, anyway, Shimano.
Sorry, so I've just got a picture of a barrel, a kind of a barrel body and like stick insect arms and legs.
Mr. Tickles, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Mr. Tickles, yeah.
So Shimano are gonna support funding us to do it again, basically. That's like covering expenses, and obviously the time to edit this little film about this project. And we're gonna be doing it at the end of May, the 29th, something like that, last weekend of May, whatever it is.
Starts on the 29th, yeah, the weekend of the bank holiday when the roads will be busiest.
Yes, I really thought that through. And I mean, did I know about it for quite a while? Was it wise to do it across a bank holiday weekend, or was it a stupid idea? And I went with the idea of it being wise because I thought, fuck it, this time round, if people want to come out for this, yes. I'm quite happy for that after what happened the first time round. I'm quite happy for that. And I hope that there becomes a peloton of 107 riders riding through Andover with giant middle fingers on their backs. I don't.
No disrespect to the people of Andover whatsoever there.
No disrespect to people of Andover. I mean, it could have happened in any town. It could have happened anywhere in the route.
I just think it was wrong place, wrong time. Right.
Wrong place, wrong time. And the like outpour of messages I've had from people actually from who live in Andover or from the surrounding area was pretty crazy, actually. I did not expect it. I really didn't expect it. But yeah, okay, so wrong place, wrong time, and some nasty human beings in the world, I think. Unfortunately. So yeah, we're going to go again. It's going to suck again. It's obviously going to suck again. And hopefully this time we can get a little bit.
You know, it's the funnest thing for me to do is watch you purposely punish yourself on a bike. Because you don't notice every single time you stop, I try and make you cry just for the camera a little bit.
Yeah, you try and do something. You did something, I can't remember what it was, but there was definitely a point where you tried to do something and I was just like, please don't, please. I mean, you're trying to like tamper with the bike or something and I was just like,
Andy. I was kicking the tire, do you know what I mean?
What I think people don't realise, but you are like, you and I have got a really good relationship anyway, but I think what people don't realise is that there's the further you go into these kind of rides and challenges, the closer or the easier it is to topple you over breaking point. Like it becomes a ridiculously thin tightrope. And when we stopped in Andover, I'd fallen off the tightrope, basically. I'd been shaken the wrong way in a way that I probably shouldn't have been shaken. And I was pretty emotional when I came up to you guys, and I was a bit shaken up. I thought I probably was just came across as grumpy at first, but I felt pretty rattled. And sat, pretty sure just sat down and ate food and then ended up crying. Like he gave me a massive hug. I was pretty tearful. And then that's when I was just like, fuck, look, guys, let's just stop for now. And so we did.
Mm.
And so we did.
Yeah.
And Had a very lovely camper van. Bastards.
Rented. So I had a really nice night. It felt like I was in a desolate Spanish town. By the side, you know, you always get a massive pile of bins by the side of a road somewhere. And there's always like loads of stray dogs and cats. I felt like we were in Spain. Very odd.
We were just next to a row of bins.
Very, very strange.
Yeah, and so we sacked it off. And I think there's something to be said about accepting that it was the right thing to do. It was definitely the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And as much as I get really pissed off with myself in these situations for a bit, but it's 100% the right thing to do. It was like, there's no point. There was no point continuing because my head, I just lost my head. I wasn't interested in it anymore. And it was like, let's stop, let's have a reset. We can go again. It's fine.
No, 100% the right thing to do. Completely agree with it. And also means that you didn't win my bet. But it is still on for next time, don't you worry. I'm still betting that you can't do it in under 30 hours.
So do it on a TT bike then.
I still don't think you'll do it. I think the TT bike on those climbs out of Cornwall and Devon will probably destroy you for the latter.
I've got to be honest, I think you're right. I think a TT bike would break me in that first half, which is why I think the Aspera 5 is probably quite a good shout. And I do think it's more aerodynamic than the R3. It's got to be. It's all integrated and hidden. All the cables are gone.
Yeah.
You know.
It's very true. How much does aero play a factor in that first half, though?
Oh, well, yeah. Especially with the downhills and stuff.
Hmm.
But it will also... The frame weight of the Aspera 5 is... Pretty, it's sub kilo, so I'm pretty sure it's lighter than an R3 or on par with an R3 anyway. But the gear, I think the gear ratios is the thing, quite frankly, that's going to make the difference. It's just instead of grinding up everything, hopefully we'll be able to spin a bit more, but also the gear is still going to be big enough so when we get onto the flat parts that you can still turn a big gear.
You could do a what world championship was it in Iceland where they changed TT bike?
Oh yeah, that was the one that Pidcock was Innsbruck, wasn't it?
Was it Innsbruck?
I think
it wasn't Innsbruck. Innsbruck isn't.
No.
What's the capital of Iceland?
Ice.
It's not Reykjavik either. I don't know why I'm searching that. Was it Oslo? No, it wasn't Oslo. I really can't remember where it was.
Was it a recent one?
It was like a couple of years ago. I can't remember.
That's the one that I think Pidcock won the junior world champs TT. I'm sure it's Innsbruck. It's a cobble climb.
God, really? Was it Innsbruck? I can't remember. I'm not going to waste any time keep searching it, but... No, one of the ones.
I remember because they swapped, didn't they, for the second half. Half of it doing a TT bike, and then not everyone, but some would swap over to a road bike to go up the hill because it was a really steep cobbled hill.
Yeah,
which makes a lot of sense. Like TT bikes are just shit to climb on; they're just horrible. Mm-hmm. You can't get any good leverage
apart from the Cervelo P series. I don't know what to talk about. Climbs brilliantly, doesn't it? Is that my hill climb bike?
Oh, is that my hill climb bike?
Yeah.
A little bit heavy at the moment. I had to drop some weight on it, I reckon. Make it a bit lighter for hill climbing. I reckon that the P5 is lighter, is a hell of a lot lighter than the P series.
Yeah, I can see that.
Also, the top end one, so it's a lot more expensive. But
probably plays a little bit of a part.
Yeah. Yeah, TT bike's just shit for climbing uphill. I think we've kind of put a good stance on what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. It's going to suck again. Hopefully the weather is okay. I always look out my window when I do podcasts. I don't really know why, but right now it's fucking chucking it down.
It's overcast and windy in Brighton.
About an hour ago, it was glorious sunshine. So Who knows? Who knows? I mean, no idea what we're going to have when we do it again, but it'll be great.
Was it you that told me the Met Office said that you should never trust, that realistically the furthest ahead we can give you is 3 days? Was that you who told me that?
It sounds like something I would say, but I definitely don't think it was me. But yeah, a three-day forecast is generally what you should look at. Because I use an app called Dark Skies, which is
the... Oh, the amount of times you've provided your Dark Skies to me.
Mate,
I still don't have it.
So good. So, so good. It's such a good app.
I just don't want to pay for my weather. I just don't want to pay for it.
Well, you could just get yourself a little sundial, mate, and just have a look outside and watch the sun.
I mean, a sundial doesn't tell you the weather. It tells you the time, doesn't it?
It's fine. It tells you the weather. When it's got water on it, it's raining. Yeah?
But it's okay, really fine. What are those ones that your parents always have, not your parents specifically, but parents always have in their house? It's like a little clock. It's got like wet to dry and they're never right. Come on, what those are called.
I know the ones you mean. What about the thermostats that have got different coloured? You ever see the little thermostat things that have like different coloured things with coloured oil in them? And they've got little...
No, I've never seen them.
Oh, my dad had one of these. It's absolutely vile. And it's like a glass tube, yeah, filled with some sort of liquid. And inside it are glass balls filled with another liquid of some form. And every single glass ball has a little metal tag hanging on the bottom, which has a number on it for a temperature. And basically they would move up or down inside the tube, depending on what the temperature was. It was really weird. I think he probably bought it from Lidl or something like that. Sounds like the kind of thing.
Robert Dias.
It's a middle aisle job, isn't it? It's just a middle aisle job. But I honestly couldn't tell you where the fuck he got it from. But I definitely remember him having it when I was a kid and just thinking, why?
It was like, what's the point in it? Surely if you just have a thermostat, it would tell you the temperature anyway.
It was like a shit lava lamp. A really shit lava
lamp. I mean, I'm kidding. I think lava lamps are pretty shit anyway. So it must have been really shit.
Really shit. At least the lava lamp's a bit hypnotic. This thing just used to just go, ooh, ooh. They used to just go up and down. I've got to find a photo of one while I'm talking to you to see if I can find one. But
what are lava lamps made of?
Lava, obviously.
Oh, obviously, just from the Earth's mantle. It's just brought up.
Lava and lamps, that's all they're made of. That's all it is. They don't need any other excuse. How do I even search for this? Oil, coloured, temperature. That's what I'm going to use. Oil, coloured, temperature. And nothing comes up on Google.
Oil apparently you can ingest the inside of a lava lamp. That's a bit of a good factoid for your listeners. Yeah. The first bit is, a classic lava lamp contains a standard incandescent or halogen lamp which heats a tall glass bottle. A formula from the 1968 US patent consists of water and a transparent, translucent or opaque mix of mineral, paraffin wax and carbon tetrachloride. And the next thing is the stuff in lava lamps toxic? Fortunately, you don't need to worry about the inside of your lava lamp being toxic. This is because the inside of a lava lamp is not actually toxic, and you don't have to worry if you break your lava lamp or consume it.
Oh, sick. So I'm just going to crack one open and put it in shot glass.
I mean, so if we're ever on this ride coming up and you've run out of water in the back of the camper van and all I have is lava lamps to my name, then crack one open down the lava lamp.
That's the noise of smashing one. I mean, you might consume some glass. I found a photo of this thing that I was talking about. I don't know if it will... Come on, camera. Wake up.
What? Yeah, oh, I've seen them so many times.
See that?
Yep, I've seen them.
Those tacky things. Yeah, my dad had one of them. You can buy them on Amazon Prime for a grand total of $14.49 next day delivery.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
That's your birthday present sorted.
Thank you very much. I'd say that's almost on the same spectrum as having one of those singing carps that you have on the wall.
Oh, Barry the Bass or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, it's Barry the Bass. I remember it so well.
Yeah, I had one of them. It was just purely to have to annoy my mum, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was at my mum's house. My nan had one as well. And it had a sensor on it, didn't it? That if you walk past them, they said, oh, yeah, my nan always had it on the sensor. So she used to use it to scare, like, guests that came around. She was brilliant at that. Loved to scare a person. She's like, any excuse, going to scare shit out of someone. Don't care. That is standard my gran, though. She was a bit of a character. Anyway, you filmed something. Can we talk about what you filmed with Alec recently?
Yeah, you can do if you want. I don't know when it's coming out. I delivered the final to them to Specialized last Thursday, and I've heard nothing back apart from cool, thanks. I was like, okay, fine.
Well, that can't be bad if they just said cool, thanks. If anyone doesn't know Alec, I don't know where you've been. He's ginger and rides a bike like a madman. Yeah. And how did this project all come around?
So from my tenure at Specialized over 3 years, I shot a lot of stuff with Alec with him because everyone loves Alec Briggs. I don't know why. He's not like the nicest person in the world at all. Or the best bike rider I've ever met. Yeah, he's a brilliant mountain bike and a brilliant road cyclist and a brilliant crit cyclist. Good fact for you again as well. I've got a bet going with Alec Briggs. If he wins a crit in Levi's jeans, I have to get Tekka's tattoo dinosaur on my arm. Dinosaur tattooed on my arm.
Dinosaur on your arm. T-Rex is going to go with his little nap little hand. Or something.
It's actually a blood tattoo. It's actually a scar, not a tattoo. Basically, some of the stuff we did, we basically had about 3 hours spare on a Friday morning. And a spare, I don't know if you know the Specialized Creo, the electric road bike. They've got like the Creo Evo, I think, on the normal Creo. And one of them is like a gravel e-road bike and one of them is an e-road bike. And we just head down to Oxshott Woods one day when I just filmed something. And then over the course of 3 hours, we filmed something and it was probably the most viewed thing that Specialized have put out in the UK. I can't remember how many views it got, it was mad. And it was just him mucking about in woods. And then the global team got in contact with Alec and said, why don't we shoot that again? Why don't we do something else? Give you a bit more time to do it. So we have a day to do it this time. And shot some really cool stuff for it. It was basically electric road / gravel mountain biking. It's very cool.
And he rides up and down a hill a lot, doesn't he?
He does ride up and down a hill a lot. I don't know if I'm going to actually show it to you, to be honest. I don't think I'm allowed. You might have to wait. To see it.
We can wait. And then you did a project, a couple of weeks ago? Going down a hill.
What was that? You're talking about that one. That one's absolutely mental. I don't know how much I can probably say. I don't know the location. I can't say the location because I don't know the location of where it was, strangely enough. But it's basically Alec going really fast down a hill, faster than I've ever seen anyone go down a hill before on a road bike. And it was quite petrifying, I'm going to be honest. It was sounded like a jet or a fighter jet going past when he went past us. We had this one shot that was facing down a road, him going past like that. And you can hear him from about 5 seconds away going, like that past. And it's absolutely mad. All right, I've got to try and find it. I'm not going to show you it. I'll give you the sound. That's what I'll give you.
A little sound bite. I bet your sound impression was pretty accurate, though.
Yeah, I think it was.
He's an incredibly talented man.
I've got you in my headphones. How are you going to hear this? Check out this.
Yeah, why not? Try it.
I'll give it a go. Tell me if you can hear it or not. Could you hear it?
No, not at all.
Cheers for waiting until the end.
He is an absolute madman. He does a hell of a lot of stuff for good causes. Like he's a good person. Alec is a good guy. And I've got a hell of a lot of time for him and what he's done and also like what he's doing, I think. And what he continues to be doing with Tekka's. And it's great that he's got some, you know, really good support, brands behind him, and also just people helping out when he needs people to help stuff. And this project, which whenever it ends up going live, is one of those little things that people go, fucking hell, Because I remember
it's in the hands of Red Bull at the moment. They are doing their things to it, basically.
They're sitting there with. Can you hear that?
It's a thunder. Yeah.
It's thunder. That's definitely thunder.
And that's a vibration from a phone.
And that is a vibration from my phone saying, from Fee saying, our first thunderstorm. That is. She's
very reactive.
Yeah, she's on it. Yeah, it's proper thundering out there. Yes, I mean, Alec is doing a lot of great things and, yeah, really doing a lot on, you know, Techers, which is, it's just quite refreshing to see, actually. To put it simple, it's just really refreshing to see.
Basically him doing things that other rogue teams have tried to do but never delivered on, realistically. Yeah.
And he's doing it in a fun, he's doing it fun, he's making it fun, and he's doing it, things that other teams have said they want to do, but just haven't, I don't know whether they haven't got the bollocks to quite do it, or just haven't been able to achieve it, or what it is, but his stance on it is all about having fun, really. It's very clear, and just, you know, enjoying it. And it's funny, because there seems to be now quite a few other teams trying to do that, or saying they're going to do it. Not like, I'm not talking like World Tour teams, I'm talking like, you know, not even necessarily...
Trinity.
Yeah.
Trinity are trying to do it, yeah. Trinity, to be fair, their content output is brilliant. To be fair, everything they put out is absolutely amazing. And they put it out like once a day as well. It's just like a constant, it's maybe even, well, the fact they got Christopher Blevins riding for them, who's like the most insane cross-country rider. And then they're all of the riders are producing these amazing videos, and they're even on TikTok producing cool stuff as well. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I'm not on TikTok. So yeah. I just see things on Instagram. But everything about it is really good. So
I'm not on TikTok. And I had someone ask me literally last week, are you going to set up a TikTok account? And I was like, I don't think so. But I feel like now I probably should.
I don't know. I'm not about that TikTok life. Like,
I don't really do videos though, really.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of like you get a lot of engagement through videos, but then again, like, are you engaging that type of person that you want to have on your channel?
Yeah,
exactly. Realistically, all TikTok is young girls in bikinis dancing really badly. That's all it is.
I feel for me, the Instagram and Twitter kind of do their thing, and the podcasts like this, which is, they've always just been about having chats about anything and everything. And podcasts, people seem to really like that. And for me, I enjoy it because it's a good opportunity to catch up with mates. And it's also a good opportunity to talk to people I don't know so well and actually discuss some quite interesting things. And the fact that the podcasts are going on YouTube and on your favorite podcast provider actually provides quite a lot of traffic and traction. And I was, the biggest thing I was surprised at, actually, and I think it is because I am a Spotify man through and through, Apple Podcasts does really, really well. Really well.
I didn't actually realize this was going to be a proper podcast. I thought it was just a YouTube thing, personally.
No, it goes both. So the podcasts, I did used to record them just as audio. Through a website that I can't remember the name of, but what it effectively used to do was record your audio and my audio as separate audio files, and then you could edit it. And as useful as that was, it was pretty good. You're always dependent on people's internet signals. And I realized that actually I think there's something better when you talk to someone, actually being able to see them, you can engage a bit more and you can understand like people's expressions, all that kind of stuff. And so I thought, I was talking to a friend of mine who does a podcast, and he was like, oh, I just recorded them using Zoom. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, honestly, the audio is generally pretty good. You get the video if you want the video as well. And it's two separate files and it's done. And then it means that there's minimal editing to go into it. And that, which is quite important to me, because the idea is the conversations are just conversations. Like, it's not scripted, it's not changed, tweaked around or anything. It's a simple conversation where there is fuck ups in it. There is postman turning up at the door. there is, you know, thunderstorms, whatever it is, it's part of what happens.
There's going to be me going to the toilet in a minute as well, because I'm really in the wee.
Well, there you go, and that's absolutely fine, because you don't want to piss on your chair. And
I was going to say, is there a big enough bottle that I can wee into, but there's not. There's one big one I got from Millets.
I'm glad you're still using that. But in the contrast, when I've been doing the... because I do Cervello's internal podcast as well. Those podcasts are recorded and edited to a much different level to what my one is. And that's because it's a different kind of podcast. It's an educational podcast. It's an educational platform. So that is recorded as... I do it in a different way. So what I do is... whoever I'm having the podcast with, is I call them up on WhatsApp and we have our headphones plugged in and then we record our own audio ourselves. The reason, and that means, because you're not trying to record over the internet or anything, the actual quality is really, really good. Generally speaking, the people from Cervello side who do it all have proper like studio mics. So you know the audio quality is going to come pretty good, and then they just send over their audio file to me, and I've got two files, my audio, their audio, put it together. And that, oh, lightning. And that is a different entity to what the 011 podcast is. This podcast has always just been about...
some good thunder. Yeah, thunder.
Proper going for it out there. Yeah, this podcast has always just been about like honest and frank discussions with interesting people. And ironically, it was the other day I went out for a ride and I was stuck in traffic trying to get home. And I was like, I got overtaken by a car, and then this car then slowed down and he ran down his window and shouted, "Chris," out the window. And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Oh, I'm literally listening to your podcast while I'm driving home right now." And I could see it on the like center dashboard of his car. And I was like, "You fucking are as well. This is really strange."
No bullshit. No, just trying to get some attention. He's actually listening to you talk. Yeah. The sweet worded Mick tones.
I don't think I've got the worst voice for audio, mate. I sound like
sound like a duck, weirdly enough.
Sound like a duck. Quacking away, you know, quack, 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 quacking away.
So that's one of the names of my old ducks, weirdly enough. I named my ducks Sheila, Drake, and Quackers. And weirdly enough, Quackers is named Quackers because I used to feed it crackers and he used to love crackers.
What? I never even knew you had ducks.
Yeah. Not anymore. I live in Brighton, in the city centre. They don't allow you to have ducks inside, weirdly enough. But when I was younger, we used to have chickens and ducks. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah. It's very, very cool. You just get duck eggs every single morning. It's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
Duck eggs, the yolks are actually much darker than chicken eggs. Actually, much richer as well in taste.
Are they?
Probably get proved wrong by someone on here saying you're full of shit. But
you used to have them all the time, you know.
Mm.
I don't think I have. I'm funny with eggs, like vegetarian. And I go through phases where I will have eggs, and then phases where I do not want to go anywhere near eggs.
It's weird. I feel like everyone goes through that phase, though. Like, I've been eating loads of eggs recently, and now I'm just a bit like, when I see an egg, I'm like, oh, rank. I don't eat that for a while.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's the only food that I get like that with.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the only foods that get like that. And I think it is literally one of those, like, as a vegetarian, I don't really know where my stance on it sits, because I almost feel that it is very, very close to eating meat. So I'm
100%. I'm completely with you. I was going to say, actually, before I went vegetarian, I always felt the same way, kind of about, even though I was a meat eater through and through back then, eating bacon, I was always really weird about it. And then you made me watch Okja, and then I never ate meat again.
Anyone that hasn't seen Okja, watch it. It's amazing. It is an amazing film.
It's a brilliantly filmed film with a great story at the heart of it.
About a giant pig, basically.
About a giant pig. Okja!
How about the shitting scene is just incredible.
Yeah, that is brilliant. Yeah, very good scene. It's just a good movie all around.
It is a great movie. And what was the other film I recommended you to watch?
The Platform.
If that's another film, if anyone wants a film, I mean, it is in Spanish, but I think you can follow it along quite well still. It's a film, and obviously you can put subtitles on, but the whole, like, the idea of that film is fucking clever. It's a clever idea. I don't really want to give away too much, but it's very, very clever, and it obviously involves a platform. I would say it is a bit of a horror film, quite frankly. It's a bit gross. There's someone's just walked in, haven't they?
Oh no, I share an office with a guy called Ryan who's sitting just literally just over there.
Oh, it's because I could see this like weird reflection on the back of your.
Oh yeah, you can see it. You can see him just. Oh, I mean,
yeah,
there.
Yeah. it's a bit of a horror film, so if you don't like blood and gore and rotten food, maybe not one for you. But yeah, the whole idea of it is very, very good. I think it's on, I can't remember if it's on Prime or Netflix, but it's on, I'm sure it's on one of them still. I've definitely watched it on one of them. But if you are feeling you've got loads of your Billy Big Bollocks and have some money, just buy it and support an independent film. That's my.
It's on Netflix anyway, to be fair, isn't it?
Is it still on Netflix?
It's still on Netflix, yeah. And it's $9.99 a month, Netflix, very cheap. I was going to say, good philosophical question actually for you. Actually, what platform do you reckon you get to? Or how long do you reckon you'd last? Because they're a week at each one, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. How long
do you think you get to?
I mean, it's such a tricky one because when
you don't know where you're gonna start or end. Yeah.
You don't know where you're gonna start, you don't know where you're gonna end. Obviously you wanna be higher up. You survival wise, you wanna be higher up because I would think that the lower down you are, your chances of not surviving, they are gonna diminish quite quickly. The fact that the guy opted to go in though, I was just a bit like, are you fucking nut job?
I guess he didn't really know what to expect though, did he?
Very true. Very true.
It was all he knew was that was he a convict? No, he wasn't a convict, was he? He didn't do anything wrong. He just wanted to change his life.
Yes.
So he went in. Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to hope I'd be able to last quite a long time.
Mm.
But you really don't know how you're going to act in those situations, do you?
I mean, you're not you when you're hungry.
And you're not. And also, you have to bear in mind who is the other person on the same floor as you.
Yeah, very true.
Because they could be, they could be a, you know, it could be a child, for example, or it could be some, I don't know, you know, a murderer or whatever it is. It could be anything. And I mean, the guy that he's on the platform with at the start, the old bloke, he's a bastard. He's not a very nice man.
Oh, he's an arsehole, isn't he? But the thing is, he's been in there so long, he knows what to do.
Exactly. He knows that. He knows the game. He knows how to play the game. So,
since that movie, I have started watching a lot more subtitle films. Really,
you got any?
Yeah, because you get so more engrossed in them. What was I watching? I know it wasn't a film, it was a series, and then we started it last night, but I'm going to be honest, I was quite traumatised last night from the fire, so I don't really remember the name of it. I'll find out, and I'll let you know, but it was very, very good. A good 30 minutes before I started having PTSD and flashbacks.
Oh, man. I'm at that point where I'm kind of out of series and films. Like, the last one I did was More Thunder. What was the last series you watched? Line of Duty. I did that. And so the only reason we watched it was because we hadn't watched any of it. So we thought, fuck it, we'll start it from season one and get to season six. And is personally, I think the filming in it is shit. I think it's all filmed a bit crap. I don't think the acting is that great. I think how the story is done and how it kind of evolves throughout the series actually becomes quite good. But I think what's very clear in it from like season one to the more recent series is there's a very distinct way and style that it's filmed and like color graded, and it just looks a bit it looks really dated in the first series, for example. It looks a bit washed out, a bit shit. It is a good series to watch. Like, it's pretty easy to watch. But I found a lot of the characters quite funny, which I shouldn't do.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably the opposite of what it's trying to portray, I'm going to be honest. It's trying to portray Ben Coppers, not funny Coppers.
It was like the like Hastings, the big I think he's Northern Irish like boss guy. He just reminded Fee and myself of her dad.
Really?
Yeah, not because her dad's Northern Irish, just his mannerisms and stuff was like her dad. And then the other like main male character, I can't remember his name now, Arnott, that guy, PC Arnott, I just think he looked like a hamster. A little hamster in a waistcoat.
Only you. Just enjoy it for what it is, just comparing people to animals and different
people. Tiny hamster man in a waistcoat. And then, it's a good series. And then we watched last night, and we watched it, and it was, so I quite like all the Marvel and DC films. I think they're easy watching, they're pretty, you know, pretty tame, and they're visually usually very good, like the filming is normally pretty good. The Batman's with Christian Bale, fucking incredible films. DC films after that, they've all been a bit naff, really. We watched Aquaman a while ago, and I just fell asleep in it. I thought it was really boring, to be honest. And then we watched the newest Wonder Woman last night.
Alicia Vikander, isn't it? Is it Alicia Vikander?
It's called Wonder Woman
1984.
That's the 1066.
That's not 1984.
And it has got awful reviews.
Oh, Gal Gadot.
Yeah. It's got really, really bad reviews. But both Fee and myself were like, that was actually pretty good. We didn't think it was that bad. So what does that say about
it? Yeah, I mean, it's completely your own personal taste, realistically. Like, some people might like Marley and Me. Some people might not like Marley and Me. And to those people who don't like Marley and Me, I say, you have a place in hell. Because Marley and Me is a classic.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't respecting that.
Alicia Vikander, that was in Tomb Raider, not Wonder Woman 1984, 1066, as I thought it was.
1, 2, 3, yeah. No, I was pleasant. I actually thought it was quite good. I thought it was better than Aquaman. That says a lot.
That's weird. I don't watch any of the movies, like those kind of movies.
They're
just weird.
They're just pretty safe and easy to watch. That's the thing. Like, they're like, yeah. They're normally, there's something happens in them. There's a big fight. Like, the storyline is basically the same. But good versus evil, big fight. Evil somehow triumphs, but there's a lot of adversity and bad shit that goes on. Pretty much any Marvel or DC film. But like, there's a new Batman coming out with Robert Pattinson playing Batman, and I think it's going to be very good. I really do. Not because I like Robert Pattinson particularly or anything. One trailer's been released and I thought I watched it and I was like, yeah, that looks pretty good. Like, it looks really dark. It looks really twisted. It looks more like, not so like, I don't know, a few slapstick jokes here and there. Actually looks like it's going to be quite serious. Like the Joker film when that came out. That was pretty damn good.
That was a brilliant film. I absolutely love Joker.
Yeah, great film. How do you say his name? Joaquin Phoenix? I can't say his
name. Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah. If you want another brilliant film, I watched it Francesca a month ago. Let me find out. There's a brilliant, brilliant film about he is a suicidal. Let's not walk the line. You Were Never Really Here. Brilliant, brilliant film.
Yeah.
Released in 2017. Just watch it. God, it's so good. It's on Amazon Prime if you want to watch it.
Oh, perfect.
But then if you want to watch another brilliant film as well, Green Book.
Green Book.
Yeah.
I like
it's about
it.
A you like green books.
I've got a green notebook. It's green. It's got my name on it.
It's about the African American singer in the 1960s traveling. He's a big deal in New York, and he's doing a tour down to the southern states. Oh, and wow. Obviously, back then, racism was quite deeply rooted, and I'd probably say it still is. And he employs an ex-security guard of a bar, like quite a notorious security guard, to drive him along. But he's quite a racist man as well, and they become friends along the way. Yeah, and it's all about him sticking up for the African-American man. And actually, to be honest, I haven't cried at a film in probably a good couple of years, but it was so good. So, so good. I didn't cry because it was so good. I cried because of the story at the end, obviously. Okay.
So that's one. Yeah, I mean, I'm funny with films. I don't really like horror films because I don't really like being made scared. But there are, I think, like, there's something really good about that release of emotion when you watch a film, whether that is because it's sad or it's happy, whatever it is. Like, I watched Bohemian Rhapsody, which I love that film.
I watched that last week. Yeah.
It's
so good.
So good. It's visually really well done. The end scene is just, it's incredible. And because that's just come on Prime, I think it is. And so we watched it. Yeah, it was probably last week. And I was fucking crying my eyes out in the end scene. It's such an emotional scene. Like it's not just the fact of what happens before, Freddie Mercury talking with the rest of the band. It's also the fact that it was the Live Aid concert. And that was pretty much the last concert that Queen did.
Mm-hmm.
And as Queen in that, iteration, it's pretty much one of the last ones they did. And I've seen like the actual live performance of that. I think a lot of people have. It's incredible to watch if you see the original genuine live performance of Queen. And I think that the film's adaptation of that is so good. It's so close to the original performance with how he moves on the stage, how, when he's at the piano, how he's like flirting with the cameraman, all that kind of stuff. And it just comes across like Freddie Mercury clearly was a very arrogant man, but arrogant in the sense of he knew how talented he was and he knew how to use that to his kind of benefit. And
I say, he knew how talented he was, but he also had to kind of portray that a little bit. But what was so good about that film is that it showed he obviously didn't have that side to him all the time.
Yes.
He obviously was yearning for people to like him yearning to be accepted. And I feel like that arrogance, half of it must have been bullshit, because realistically he was trying to prove, and he was trying to make himself needed and wanted, and he was trying to prove something to people.
Yeah. So a lot of it, the arrogance is a stage persona. It is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's that swagger, that stage persona that he has. But as you say, like it clearly an incredibly, how it's, he's portrayed as an incredibly caring man. Look at his cats.
Yeah.
Love for his cats in the film. And yeah, I got well emotional with it. And every time I've watched that film, it's made me well up, because it's the emotion builds up and up and up in it. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful film. And like, I remember when it came out, a lot of people were like, oh, he's just miming. And I'm like, well, that's fine. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because it works.
Wait, so you're telling me that wasn't a documentary?
No.
Was that? I thought that was a documentary.
It's not a complete documentary, no.
Oh, wow. I thought it was a documentary. I thought that was the real Freddie Mercury. I thought that was shot last year. Jesus. Oof. God, I've blown my head right.
Are you being serious?
Shut up, joking, twat.
I was about to say, if you're being serious, you are a silly bugger. Loads of people were like, when it came out, loads of people were like, why is he miming? And I was just like, well, it's fine that he's miming, because you don't really want to, like, that is about how Queen were. So you want to hear the genuine singing and stuff, in my opinion, anyway. Mm-hmm. And the miming is, it's pretty damn convincing, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. And there's like a bit of a funny like tongue-in-cheek moment where they talk about going on Top of the Pops and miming on Top of the Pops anyway, which I thought was quite amusing. But like I the other film that I really, really like is the Elton John one.
Oh, I haven't watched that. Is that Rocket Man, isn't it?
Rocket Man. So it is similar in the sense that it's about Elton John's life, but it's also incredibly different because it's almost like a musical. And the guy that plays Elton John there is singing throughout it, and he's very, very talented. He's really good. And it's kind of done like his songs become part of the musical and everything, but it's also a great film. It's really quite feel-good, actually. Talking about him going and like getting off the drugs and being clean and everything like that, because Elton John, when he's younger, had a big problem with drugs and, you know, depression, weight, like losing weight, gaining weight, all that kind of stuff. And then it talks about him when he becomes clean and kind of separates from a previous record label, which was causing the problems for him, reconnects with his partner who helps write all the songs. And yeah, it's a really, that's also a really good film. That's on Netflix at the moment. And and the singing and everything's very, very good in it. Very good. It's got, he plays the young guy in, what is he in? Oh, I can't even think of the films now. It's Eddie the Eagle, if that helps.
Yeah, I was going to say, he also plays...
Kingsman.
Kingsman, yeah. Kingsman 1, Kingsman 2. That's a brilliant film. I love that.
Yeah, and it's him. And then one of the other guys in it is the kid that is Billy Elliot. So equally, you know, really talented guy. I definitely recommend that one. But I think there's definitely something with film and the way of being able to portray emotion across in film is like, is so powerful. And like, I think this is kind of going full circle, what you did with the 107 TDF film, the opening scene of that, the amount of like close friends and family who messaged me saying I was fucking crying in the start of the film. We hadn't even seen it. It's like the first 5 minutes. Not even that, first minute.
20 seconds, yeah.
And I know with this whole Coast to Coast ride, we haven't shared it publicly or anything, but you did a short edit, and I would love to share it because I think it really sums up a lot of what happened. And I'm sure you and I will talk about that at some point. But you did this little short edit that's very dramatic, and it's literally, what, 30 seconds? And I think it hits home very, very quickly what happened on the first one.
Can we share it on here? Can we present it?
Yeah, you can present it, I think.
I was going to say, do I have it somewhere? I must have it somewhere. Here. Come on. I've got so many. This is what happens when you have lots and lots and lots of hard drives. You never know what's on what.
Boxes and boxes of hard drives.
Boxes of 9 hard drives.
I can get it up on my WhatsApp because you sent it to me on WhatsApp.
Oh, I've got it.
You got it?
Yeah, I've got it. Share. There you go.
Share screen. You should be able to. I think it's able.
Can we see it?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't even know if that will record this. But...
yeah, it will. Can't add. Can't hear it though, mate. It's your headphone.
You can't hear it.
No.
Well, I'll share that then.
Well. What we'll do is I will share it.
Yes.
Because I have it on my on here as well. And I think it's the old interwebs or some, I don't know, I'm just talking about.
But do you remember when we had that conversation of that interview after Hellzone's Velodrome? I used these. I tried to record the whole thing. And then I tried to listen back to it, and it was just me talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great fun.
Yeah.
Right. I can share my screen. and you should be able to see it.
Bunch of guys and with like fucking jocks, and one guy came like belting over, not like that basically.
I think gonna ride on to London, probably end it there. I think it last night probably shook me up a bit more than I thought it would, and don't really want to ride my bike anymore. Being open about the incident and accepting what happened will help people as well to talk about similar things and understand that it's never failure, it's just part of the learning process. You're always going forward even if you think you're going backwards.
Look at that. And that was, ironically, was that little interview bit at the end. We did that built outside of, literally in Bristol, just about before we all parted ways. And I didn't realise how fucking filthy my forehead was.
Yeah, it's very dirty, isn't it?
It's really dirty. I look like I've got a monobrow. It must have just been the dust and stuff kicking up on the road. Must have been. I did cycle.
Or when they pushed you over, you fell headfirst into dog poo.
I did stink, to be fair. I did that too. But yeah, I mean, that kind of sums up a lot of it very, very quickly. I haven't pre-warned you this, but towards the end of the podcast, I always ask for like life tips. But five of them.
All right.
Five
life tips.
Yeah, but this can be anything. So the reason why I do five, and I always say this as well to explain it, is most people can do three. Fourth one's usually pretty good, or the fourth one's actually usually shit, and the fifth one's usually pretty good. But they can be anything and everything. So there's been like cooking tips, how to get seat a tire on the rim tips, kind of anything and everything under the sun. But five of them.
If you ever film anything, never stop recording.
Yeah. Because your camera takes so long to fucking turn on.
Yeah, pretty much. No disrespect to Black Magic whatsoever. Family and friends mean more than you think.
Yeah.
Money isn't everything. It took me a long time to figure that out.
Mm.
So the sooner you can figure that out, the better.
Completely agree with that one.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. Doesn't matter that it will never cure depression. It will never stop someone dying. It will never make it. You can buy everything you want, but you're still going to have that hole in your life. You got to set a starting mental health before anything else.
Mm.
Eating healthily makes a world of difference to everything. And stay focused on your path. There you go.
Fuck me. You did that way too easily.
Yeah.
I'm well impressed. I'm well impressed. What? One more thing I wanted to ask about is like, you obviously, you love mountain biking. Yeah.
Mm.
How the fuck does someone get into mountain biking?
How do you get into mountain biking?
Yeah. Like genuinely.
You pick up whatever bike you have and you go mountain biking. It doesn't matter. You don't need to buy a £10,000 S-Works stump jumper. Sorry. That's not mountain biking. That's gravel riding.
Walk, isn't it? I do.
It is. How much travel does it have?
About this much. I can't even make it move. Not a lot.
Can't see anything.
Maybe I'll do the one nearer.
It's just, that's like the Specialized Future Shock, but on the fork.
Exactly.
It's a cool colour, though. It's a really cool colour.
This was the loud fork that was on my gravel bike that I rode across Australia on, which the frame is no longer with me, but the fork still is. And this fork is going to be going on my Aspero.
Oh, sick.
With
at the end of this month?
Not the Aspero
5. The original Aspero, not the Aspero 5. Okay. So
this fork, along with a dropper seat post. And I've got a set of very, very funky looking handlebars. One second. These, which you can't really tell, but they're very, very wide.
No, they are incredibly wide. What the hell?
These are cool. These are from Curve, which is Australian Thai bike brand, and they're called the Warmer Bars. These are 50.
They look like 600. Oh, okay, 500.
So they're 50 on the hoods, 60 on the drops.
Oh, so it's right, perfect.
Yeah. Wrong. And they've got little fists.
Oh, that's so cool!
It's cool, isn't it? The theory is, so the reason why I'm doing this to the Green Aspero is I've got a place on GB Giro, which is a off road ride from Land's End to John O'Groats. It's a race. I was pretty adamant that you probably need a mountain bike to do it on. A few people have been like, you could do it on a gravel bike. And I was like, for me, because I have quite bad nerve damage in my left hand, lots of rough is, I really struggle with it. And I lose a lot of the ability to grip on my left hand very well. And especially when I'm fatigued. So I've been talking with Phil, who is from Cervelo, and is based out in Canada, who is like have you spoken to Phil much?
I have not, really enough.
Phil Spearman, he's like he knows everything. He's a genius. And he's who I record a lot of the podcasts with, Cervelo. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Phil about what his stance would, what he thinks would make the Aspero better for something like that. Because it's an amazing bike, but I know that there's some hyper rough bits of terrain. Yeah. Hence, I was like, I'm pretty adamant I want a mountain bike, but, you know, being sponsored by Cervelo, it's like, how can I work out a way of trying to keep on brand? And part of that is you look into Santa Cruz, which is part of the same family of brands. But then it's, you know, that's another step to get through, another hurdle. So I was like, I said to him, what do you reckon about shoving these Lao forks on it with these warmer bars, big wide bars, really good, get your width out, with some GRX inline brakes as well, so you can brake there as well, and a dropper seat post. And he was like, that sounds flipping rad. 650B wheels, big fat tires.
One by as well, obviously.
Yeah, why not? It's basically a mountain bike with drop. Yeah. So,
well, this is literally what I was about to say. Just take whatever bike you can, because actually, think about what was happening in the 80s and the 90s. You would ride anything, and you ride down hills, and that was mountain biking. Mountain biking is whatever you want it to be. Just head out, like, from here. It's like a half an hour ride to the trails, and you can do downhill stuff, or you can do cross country. It's whatever you want to do, and whatever bike you want to take is mountain biking. Why do you have to? You don't need to put a definitive line, like, this is gravel, this is mountain, it's whatever you want, whatever the fuck you want it to be.
It comes down to your own confidence and your own ability as to how brave you get.
Yeah.
And that's fundamentally it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do it, the more confident you're going to get.
And where your manufacturer's warranty stops as well, I would say.
Yes. I went to a place called Ashton Court the other weekend. It's near Bristol, and it's got mountain bike trails. And I took my Aspero, wrapped down all the mountain bike trails there, all the jumps, just had great fun with it. And that's when I was like, yeah, doing something with the Lao forks is a good idea, because fuck me, when you've got a solid fork, it does actually quite hurt when you land.
Well, think about what was happening with, like, Sean, I don't know, is it oh, what's that guy? I can't remember that really famous specialist. Jason McCroy. Don't know if you know who Jason McCroy is in the 90s and the 80s. He was riding downhill tracks on a fully rigid specialized rock hopper, weirdly enough. And you see videos of it, and there's like loads and loads of old school VHS tapes of where it's like filmed the same way as BMX was filmed.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they're riding the tracks that people ride today, and people are riding them with 160 mil front and back and 63 and a half head tube angle. And it's like they're riding them on basically what you would consider a old school steel touring bike now.
Yeah.
And they were riding down it at like 40, 50 miles an hour. But they were tanks though. They were shredded, covered in body armor, because they knew the one wrong line choice, you're off the side of a mountain, realistically.
Yeah.
But nowadays it's kind of like the technology has gotten so good that you don't actually need the same level of skill as what they used to have back in the 80s and 90s, because you can actually just ride over logs or you could ride over rocks and it doesn't matter. Line choice isn't a problem.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's less of a problem.
Do you think that, what do you think is a better bike, a full suspension or just a go for a hardtail? What do you think is better?
It's such a hard question to answer.
I can understand there's pros and weaknesses of both, but like if you were starting with a mountain bike, what would you go for?
Well, you learn line choice and you learn technique better on a hardtail.
Mm-hmm.
Because realistically, a lot more can go wrong on a hardtail, because obviously you haven't got 140 to 160 or 180, maybe even 210 mil of travel in the back, soaking up the vibrations. You are moving the bike around with your body weight in the back, and the only suspension you have in the back is your knees and the tire pressure. That's realistically all you have. And it's so rough to ride, but you'll realize that I started on hardtail when I was younger. You learn so much more going from a hardtail to a full suspension rather than going full suspension to a hardtail.
Mm.
Just the way it is. Like all coaches will tell you the same thing. If you're new to the sport, learn your baseline techniques on a hardtail and then move to full suspension.
Makes a lot of sense.
Obviously, hardtails have their limits. Like you can't ride the same tracks. Well, you can ride the same tracks. It will be a lot scarier and it will be a lot more painful.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a little bit older with bad knees like me. Even though I'm not old, I'm only 27, but still super bad knees.
Quite a few years younger than me, so.
Yeah. I feel old though.
Yeah.
I mean, Francesca's 35 and she gets asked for ID. No, she doesn't get asked for ID. And then I go into Waitrose and I get asked for ID. I'm just like, oh, okay. I actually asked, weirdly enough, over Christmas, how old do you think I am? The person thought I was 40. I was just like, cheers.
I got asked for ID for the first time in a very long time the other week, and made my day. Genuinely made my day. Yes. When they saw it, they're like, oh, you're 31. I was like, yes, I am.
So you eat so many avocados, that's why.
I reckon it's that I bought some new moisturizer.
So it's only just come into effect. It's like the fountain of youth in a tube.
I think it is the fountain of youth. It's from a company called Manual. And I was telling you about Manual, I think.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
It's like an online sort of thing. Probably been absolutely suckered up into some kind of pyramid scheme. But I really like all the branding and the support they offer for men's health, whether that's mental health, physical health. They do everything. They very openly talk about like male testosterone count, male hair loss, all that kind of stuff.
Yes. And now I remember it's all the supplements as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Different kinds of supplements. And they also, they do like blood tests and things like that. So I did a blood test with them the other week. I'm just waiting for the results to see if there's anything.
How much EPO you've got in your system.
Hey, let's not joke about that one when I ride bicycles. It's not EPO in my system, it's Coca-Cola.
Let me say, it still has the same biomechanical makeup.
There's genuinely, I bought from the shops the other day Blue Fanta.
What? Why?
Because it was blue.
You bought it because it was blue?
Because it was on offer and it was blue. And I wanted to know what flavour it was. And they've done this... Fanta's
well,
done,
it's blue. It's blue flavour.
Exactly. They've done this massive campaign about what flavor it is and getting people trying to guess what flavor the blue one is. And I was just like, yeah, it's blue flavor. It's the same when you had a blue slush puppy, it's blue flavor.
Mm.
Yeah, it just is blue flavor. But it's obviously, they've done quite an interesting marketing campaign talking about the people trying to get people involved to guess what the flavor is. There's like YouTube videos every week talking of like slowly releasing bits about what the flavor is. And I reckon it's just going to come out saying it's blue. But that's what's in my system right now is blue Fanta. But I bet you did not expect that.
Why do I think EPO is blue? For some reason, when I think of EPO, I think of like a chemical that you inject into yourself. Or I don't even know what EPO is really. It's just...
So
I think it's like some blue liquid. It's like bleach. I don't know why.
I've been tested for it before in the past. At like national TTs, and you generally the test is a urine test, but the person who's basically taking you over testing has to literally watch you piss. And what I mean when I say watch you piss, they have to physically see it coming out your cock into a tube. And when you've just done a race, you're already dehydrated. Said that weird. You're already dehydrated, and there's a chap watching. Look, standing there waiting to watch you piss. It is ridiculously hard to piss. It's so hard.
I thought you were gonna say it's really embarrassing as you get sports willy. That's what you're gonna say. I thought you were gonna. Oh, it's all shriveled. It's a little bit cold outside. I'm gonna be honest. It's got sports willy.
Nice.
I don't know. I was giving you a northern accent then as well. Got sports willy.
Because I live up north now. No, it's genuinely every time I've been tested, I think 3 times now, and every time can't piss straight away because you're just so dehydrated at the end of a race. But EPO is basically what it does is it increases, from my understanding, it increases your effectively like the width of your blood vessels. So you can have...
So it absorbs more oxygen? Transfer more oxygen, yeah.
Exactly. You can absorb more...
That's just from your understanding, though. That's not from personal preference.
Definitely not from personal preference. That's from my understanding. I watched a couple of documentaries about drugs testing in sports, not just cycling, in sports general. There's that one, isn't there, on Icarus. Yeah, and then the various, like, Lance Armstrong-style documentaries, films, whatever, also quite interesting to kind of open your eyes up to it. But it used to be, before like the drug side of it, it was also people literally getting bags of blood and putting more blood in their system. Literally was that simple at one point, which is
so disgusting.
Fucked up. It's fucked up. And the thing with EPO and steroids and stuff that are being taken is that it effectively, once you've gained that performance enhancement, it doesn't go away.
Mm.
So you look at riders who are riding at the moment at the top level who have been done for drugs testing. They've been caught, failed a drugs test, served their suspension, come back. They're still reaping the benefit. And there's no reason why you can't dope when you're being, well, while you're suspended. You're suspended from competition. You're not suspended from anything else. And so in my mind, there's probably a relatively large proportion of riders who get caught and they're like, fuck it, I might as well continue until I have to do a test for when I need to be clean.
Surely as well, if they know how to do this kind of stuff, they can ramp you up. You can like not compete and just train for 6 months. Take as much gear as you want, basically, and then lower your testosterone to the levels it needs to be for tests, surely. Because if you're suspended from competition, why would they test you? They wouldn't.
Exactly.
But then again, I am basically defaming the UCI here. And I have no idea of the inner workings of the doping and the anti-doping control. So
No. I mean, we're speculating on things here, obviously. But it's a very slightly... It's quite, I mean, the one that always stands out to me, and I genuinely don't mean to badmouth a rider, but I am going to badmouth a rider. And what I mean by that is it's very clear that this rider is very respected in the peloton, but I'm actually not going to say his name. He's 40, maybe 41 now, probably gives it away. Was a world champion, did a doping ban, came back, still kept winning. Won the world championships when he's like 38 or 39.
Who is that? I can't put my finger on who that is.
He's Spanish.
Is it? Oh, no, I know who it is. Francis Cade.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's
it's Francis Cade.
But it's like, that just seems, it just seems so suspect to me. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking to someone about it, and we're in that weird era now where there's the last few riders who were like pro when the doping era was rife, who are now like nearly retiring. And there's like, but they're all like late 30s, early 40s. Yeah. And then there's this gap. There's this gap of like mid 30 year old, right? Like mid to late 30s. There isn't any riders in that mid to late 30s. There's like late 30s, early 40s. Then there's a big gap of riders. And then you've got your early to mid 30s. Yeah. And this gap is just doesn't make sense, because it's like, the ones who are above that gap were ones who were around during the doping era. And then there's this big gap of riders who basically were riders have got to like 37 and just got on retiring now. And they don't, and these are riders that haven't potentially doped, or weren't anyway wrapped up in that era of doping so much. And then you come down to like now, and you're seeing freaking like, early 20-year-old winning the biggest race in the world. I find it all a bit suspect. I'm not. Are people still doing? They just got quite better at it. You know, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to speculate on that. So I feel like you get into quite a lot of trouble, quite a lot of media attention if you say this kind of thing.
Yeah,
and drop names. I won't drop names, but I do agree with you.
Yeah,
it is suspect. I just think the technology and the understanding of the human body has gone to a point where they know how they can do these things and get away with it.
I agree.
There is I don't know why, but I'll say a few names. I never for some reason I just don't think Wout van Aert has ever doped.
No, I think genetically he's just an animal.
Yeah, genetically he's an animal, but I feel like Julian Alaphilippe has. I don't know why. There's something about it. It's just like, I like Wout van Aert.
Yeah.
I like Julian Alaphilippe, but I just feel like Julian Alaphilippe looks like those one of those guys whose dad was at the sideline giving him something before. I don't know why. It's like one of those parents on the sideline at a football match just screaming at their kid.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could be completely wrong. I am completely wrong, because Julian Alaphilippe's dad was an alcoholic, wasn't he? Actually, so I retract that statement straight away.
I know what you mean. There does feel like there are potentially riders at the moment. It just seems a bit suspect, doesn't it? The thing to say is doping is, I know there's this association with cycling and doping, but it is rife in other sports.
Yes. Rugby,
football, American football, cricket, golf. It's well publicised that it's rife in other sports. It maybe doesn't come out in certain sports as much as it should, but like, I know from conversations with friends who are journalists who work for tabloid newspapers who have said, oh, we know it's happening at blah, blah, blah club, but we can't talk about it because it will basically ruin our opportunities to have any access to any team in a football context.
I think that's quite true in a cycling context as well, I'm going to be totally honest. Just because the amount of money that these brands pump into cycling journalism for like sponsored takeovers and sponsored editorials and like that, that I feel like if something like Cycling Industry News or Bike Beers or something like that posted about a rider who they get a lot of money from through editorial or sponsored editorial or takeovers or digital ad network or something like that, if they post about that and name the team and name the brand that's behind the team, I feel like that brand will see them in bad light and it will reduce their revenue. Realistically, all of these God, I'm really putting myself in a tricky situation because I work with a lot of them.
It is a tricky situation because, I mean, that was what was so amazing when it all came out around Lance Armstrong, was that it was one journalist who was basically just like, fuck it. It was literally like, fuck it, it's not right. I know I'm potentially ruining my career here, but fuck it. Something needs to be said. And like, big respect for that because, but you can understand people are thinking about their own lives, their own mental health, their own like financial support. They've got families, kids, whatever it is to support. There's so many different elements and aspects that can be taken out of control of it. But yeah, I mean, geez, such a weird thing. I don't really know how I got on the subject of that. And I'm going to leave it at that, I reckon.
Blue Fanta.
Don't buy it because it's blue flavoured.
And it's EPO in disguise because professional cycling teams are trying to hide their stash.
Blue Fanta.
Is actually just Blue Fanta.
Yeah.
100%. So any Cat 4s or Cat 5s, go take some Blue Fanta.
Yeah, get yourself Blue Fanta. You can buy it at your local Sainsbury's or other supermarkets. I purely say Sainsbury's because there's one 5 minutes down the road from me. There's Morrison's as well. Could go there if you wanted to. They probably got loads of Blue Fanta in Morrison's. They probably have pink Fanta, purple Fanta, yellow, orange, whatever colour you want. They have it there. Get it out your eyes, you know.
You can tell we're heavily underwritten by the Fanta Corporation.
Coca-Cola Company,
yeah, sorry, not Fanta Corporation.
All I'll do is I'll expletive over the word Fanta. And then people just think we're saying fuck all the time.
Just bleep the entire conversation.
Yeah. Anyway, Andy, you are an absolute legend. I know you still need a piss. And it's
I've needed to pee for about 45 minutes, to be fair.
We've been chatting for a good nearly 2 hours. Nearly two hours, mate. I feel like you and I should do another one at some point because I feel like there's a lot of stuff you and I haven't talked about yet, but I'm conscious that it's been nearly 2 hours. There's a lot of stuff.
I feel quite sleepy. I need something to eat. I'm so hungry.
Well, mate, I had half a quiche for lunch and it was nice, but I'm hungry as well.
I had beetroot juice, ginger and parsley and some mango. It's very nice.
That's so Brighton.
Yeah, very Brighton.
Yeah.
But it wasn't from a juice shop. It was actually Francesca made it this morning.
Oh, very nice.
A little juicer. Yeah, very nice.
What juice have you got? Is it worth buying?
I keep talking about Amazon. You know, Amazon has this thing called AmChef, AMZ Chef.
Yeah.
It's an AmChef one. It's like 60 quid. Bloody brilliant. I've had it for about 6 months and it's so good. Juice every morning, juice every evening.
In summary, we're going to be doing the coast to coast ride again. Andy's probably going to take the piss out of me a lot. There will be, I don't know. Probably loads of jokes and a bet on the line about trying to do it in under 30 hours. I reckon when we've got that shit done, we should have another chat. And I really consciously would love to talk to you more about the mountain bike and stuff as well, because I find it very interesting as someone who's not a mountain biker, really. I used to do it a little bit as a kid, but I think everyone did it a little bit as a kid. If you do not follow Andy in any way, shape or form, go and follow him because he does really fantastic work and also fantastic photography. Go on his website and look at it. It's beautiful.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate that. Tell you what, next time you're down in Brighton, I'll take you out to the trails and show you some mountain biking.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it soon.
It's a very good cyclocross. Is it Stanley Park? Stanley Park, quite a famous London and Southeast cyclocross round.
I've done it there.
Yeah, it's really good. I've actually never done it with you.
Yeah, it's good fun. I did it a few years ago. I had a Van Dessel cross bike. Have you ever heard of that brand?
Never heard of it.
They're Belgian, and it was two sizes too big for me, but I bought it like third hand for pennies, basically. It's Canty brakes, raw carbon frame, and the logos are red and yellow, like Belgian flag, basically. It's quite a cool bike. Didn't stop. Canty brakes were terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the reason I haven't ridden my... I bought that rock car. No, I bought a Stump Jumper that was built on my birthday, the 14th August 1993 Stump Jumper, and it's got Canty brakes, and I have not ridden it since I bought it, because Brighton is notoriously hilly. From my house, I lived in the station, all the way down to the office. I rode it down there once in the wet, and I couldn't stop the entire... I basically went into the ocean. So straight across. Yeah, there's no stopping. No stopping it.
This brakes, mate, they're the future. I've heard it a few times now, they're the future.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Not rim.
No, I didn't know that. No, not rim brakes.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the future if you can't actually get hold of disc brakes anywhere, though. They're pointless in that sense. But if you can get hold of them, they're the future.
Good insider industry knowledge for you quickly before we end, actually. Cycling shops are no longer quite a lot of the ones I know are no longer selling cassettes or chains to anyone because it's impossible to get them.
Really?
So they're keeping them for themselves and buying them all up from like Madison, Shimano, and everything like that for their workshop jobs.
Fuck.
So if you ever see any on a website, go and buy as many as you can because you will not see them in stores till 2023.
Shit me.
Yeah.
And this is just because of the boom in cycling, isn't it?
Boom in cycling and the Suez Canal blockage.
Fuck. And what about, do you think also tied up into this is the Brexit causing it?
Yeah, so a lot of, actually to be fair, every single bike shop I work with and bike brand, they've put, 20% increase on all their prices, and bike shops won't send outside the UK because the amount of paperwork it takes is unbelievable. Yeah. To do that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, it's just like, I know of some very, very big bike brands bringing stuff into the UK where their containers are actually stuck at the back of the queue and they are blaming it on manufacturing shortages. But actually, they obviously didn't organise things correctly or do their paperwork properly, so it's just been pushed to the back of the queue. Yeah.
Yeah. The other one is, I think most people will realise that Shimano are due to bring out new group set this year.
When SRAM do it, Shimano do it.
Exactly. I mean, so what we just have from SRAM, the Rivals just come out, which is probably a game changer. Bringing an electronic group set at that price point is incredible. And like, I am a huge fan of electronic group sets. But we also know that this year is Shimano's 100th anniversary. They were due to bring, on their timing, the newest Dura-Ace should have come out last year. So, and we have seen historically in the past, shortages have come around when new group sets have come out.
Yeah.
I think they're like shortages on crack at the moment because of everything you just mentioned. But I think that's also tied into it as well. And on that note, I'm going to let you
say, Francesca's calling me because she's outside my office.
Oh, perfect. Well, you have a very good evening, my friend.
Thank you very much, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
All right, buddy. Have a lovely one.
See you, man. See you later.